This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. A lot of things to discuss. Spend some time, maybe too much time, talking about the Zach Wilson situation with the Jets. Three different reporters had the story that he's reluctant to step back in. The team is discussing next steps. Also, Zach Wilson reportedly reached out to Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers tried to talk him down off the ledge to say, no, you want to go back in and you want to be a starter. Zach Wilson is apparently, reportedly, worried about getting injured. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Poll question. Let's clean up hour one there, Seton. And what are we going to go with hour two?
Hour one, Dan, we got up there. Which 6-6 AFC team do you still believe in?
Okay.
And right now, 66.6.
Oh, come on.
Percent of the audience still believe in whom?
The Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. Of course they do.
Yeah.
Wonder why that is.
Because they had Super Bowl aspirations when this season started, and they still have their quarterback.
I guess the quarterback is a big part.
Yes, it is. What's the poll question for hour two?
Well, we could go with another the best 9-3 team in the NFL. It's a good list of teams.
Okay.
These are the things I was thinking about this morning.
Okay.
Cowboys.
Yeah.
9-3.
Yeah.
49ers. 9-3.
Okay.
Your Detroit Lions.
All right.
9-3.
Okay.
The Dolphins. They're pretty good.
I like this poll question.
And then the Ravens.
Yeah.
Those teams are all 9-3, although it doesn't feel like all 9-3s are created equal.
Yeah.
They're all
compelling
teams.
I like it.
Let's go.
I like it.
Yes.
Also, the fact that the Dallas Stars, the quarterback, wide receiver, and great defensive player, they're all playing well, maybe spells impending doom for the Cowboys. We'll talk about that. Imagine you're going, Dak's playing at an MVP level. Micah Parsons could be defensive player of the year. CeeDee Lamb is one of the elite wide receivers. Well,
we are so screwed.
Do you realize how much money they're going to have to spend? That Dak's going to be highest paid player in the NFL. He's going to get probably $60 million. CeeDee Lamb is going to want a big time contract. Micah Parsons, what's he worth? If TJ Watt is going to get $28, $29 million, Micah Parsons, $30 million? So all this success is great if you get to a Super Bowl. But if you have everybody has great years and you don't get to the Super Bowl, and now you got to pay those guys? Good luck, Jerry Jones. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, Micah Parsons has, if they pick up his fifth-year option, I think they're going to. 2025 will be his last year under contract. He'll get that, like, $22 million one-year deal. He is an unrestricted free agent in 2026 at age 27. Holy cow, what a perfect time to be.
And here's Dak as an MVP candidate. Imagine if he wins the MVP, and he's going to get $60 million a year. C.D. Lamb, is he in the last year of his deal?
I think he has one more with a fifth-year option.
Okay.
But I think he and Parsons are similar.
Oh, boy.
Dak Prescott's got, after this season, will have $160 million in the bank and be turning 31 with probably a new contract.
Yeah, Jerry didn't do a good job in negotiating that. You know, he didn't. Now, if you win the Super Bowl, then you're going to pay him, but you're going to have to pay him $60 million probably. Yes, Marvin.
Really?
Yes.
That's all I had to say was really.
Yes. Yeah.
Dak Prescott?
Yes.
I like Dak Prescott, but just not $60 million.
Well, what's the other option? Not sign him? He's not going to give you a team discount. He didn't last time.
I wouldn't either. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get paid. He's going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. I don't know for how long, but he will be. All right. So the big story has to do with the Jets. Zach Rosenblatt is a senior writer for The Athletic, and this all unfolded yesterday afternoon. Thought it was going to be a quiet afternoon there, Zach. And then all of a sudden, a couple of tweets come out, and all of a sudden, here we go with Zach Wilson and the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers in there as well, and Robert Saleh. So where do you want to start with this? How about this? You're Zach Wilson. What do you do today?
If I'm Zach Wilson, I probably am addressing my teammates, I would say. And you know, because especially if they do plan on playing him, and if his teammates have this image of him that he doesn't want to play for them and fight for them, then I imagine that probably doesn't sit well in that locker room. So I would imagine he would have to address his teammates right now.
Okay, but Robert Saleh said this isn't true.
That's not what Robert Saleh said. Robert Saleh said that Zach Wilson walked into his office 30 minutes before that to say that he wants to play. That doesn't change everything that happened before that. And I don't think Robert Saleh denied what happened. He just didn't address it directly is how I would say.
Okay. What would you ask Robert Saleh today?
What would I ask Robert Saleh today? That's a good question. I don't know. Like, how do you keep a guy on the roster that doesn't want to play? I think would be the big question. And, you know, obviously Zach has changed his mind smartly. And obviously there are a lot of factors there. They asked Aaron Rodgers to call him and talk to him about coming back and making him understand that this would be a bad look for his career if he refused to play. And maybe that message got through or the report made it get through. But I think ultimately, yeah, Robert Saleh probably had to sit there and decide if they were comfortable keeping him around the team if he doesn't want to play for them.
Who do you think is the quarterback for the Jets next game?
My prediction would be Trevor Siemian this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if Zach was in the number two and came into the game or started the week after that kind of thing.
How did this start? Like, when do you get a heads up that Zach is telling multiple people from players, coaches, staff members? Like, what's the genesis of this?
Yeah, so I'd heard that even before this last Falcons game, over the last week, they kind of gave him the message of practice as if you're going to have to play at some point, like that kind of thing. And then what I was told, this was yesterday morning, is they went to him about the possibility of playing again. And he, again, as we reported, he expressed some reluctance about doing it. I think the offensive line thing and the risk of injury was a factor, because I think everybody in that building, including Zach, knows he's not going to be here next year. So I think maybe there's part of it where he wants to kind of protect himself as he tries to find a new job this offseason. But so I think it starts there, and they go to him, and, you know, he talks about with staff, coaches, teammates about how he's reluctant. And then after some Aaron Rodgers discussions and everything else that's transpired, I think he's kind of come to Jesus to a degree.
But this is career suicide, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, ultimately, you know, maybe he didn't think this would get out, is probably part of it. But ultimately, if you're not willing to play, like, this is kind of the consequence that comes with that. And so now there's going to be more pressure on him, frankly, to go out there and perform when he is out there.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, what team's going to go, yeah, come on in, even as a backup quarterback. What if our team isn't that good? Or what if there's, you know, offensive line is not good? Are you going to say that? I mean, he wants self-preservation, but he's killing his self-preservation with this short-term, long-term. So I'm just trying to understand what's making him tick now, and what role did Aaron Rodgers play in this?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. He's going to have to go on a campaign to, like, rebuild his image around some other teams who I'm sure were probably alarmed by their support. For like the Aaron Rodgers side thing, like the whole story the Jets told everybody this season is that they wanted Zach to sit for the entire season, learn from Aaron Rodgers, and the plan was not to play him. They emphasized, we want a redshirt in this year. Like, they over and over again, like, we want him to learn and sit back. And then in week one, four plays into the season, he's thrown back into the mix. They're able to, you know, fight to a 4-3 record with a very good defense, and then he gets benched. And so it kind of, like, it backfired. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't around the building until recently, so it's not like they were spending a lot of time together like they had planned. And so Zach kind of felt like maybe he was on an island. And at the end, you know, and I haven't heard this directly from him, but I imagine he probably feels like he's being scapegoated to a degree because he's gotten benched so many times and their offense is struggling and they keep saying how they don't have their quarterback and that's why. And so Zach feels maybe scapegoated, and maybe that was a factor in all of this. But, yeah, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers is a big looming part of this, of course, and it's just kind of like the way the season went was not the team's plan, and it really backfired. And I think obviously, and this has been a big discussion in New York, when Aaron goes down, they never went out and seriously considered signing another quarterback to fill in for him, to replace Zach if and when Zach struggled, and they stuck with this group, Tim Boyle, brought in Trevor Siemian, and it kind of like derailed their season.
Okay, whose decision was it to not go out and actually get a viable backup quarterback?
I think that probably comes from higher up, GM, you know, maybe conversation with Robert Saleh. I think they thought they could get by with a great defense and a great running game, and they could survive with Zach, kind of like they did to start out last year when they went 6-3. But it kind of fell apart quicker this year as they started getting all these crazy amount of injuries on the offensive line. You have guys like Alan Lazard not really living up to their contract. The weapons outside of like Garrett Wilson haven't really performed. And so everything kind of backfired in it. I think they would probably admit, maybe not publicly, that they made a mistake not like bringing in another veteran.
Oh, boy. Good stuff, Zach. Have fun today. I'm anxious to. Is Zach Wilson going to talk to the media? Have you heard anything?
I imagine he will this week. I don't know which day, because the starting quarterback usually talks on Wednesday, but he's not. We don't think he's the starting quarterback. We don't know right now. But
okay. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
That's Zach Rosenblatt, Jets senior writer for The Athletic. I got more questions than answers here. Bizarre. Truly bizarre. Barry in Santa Fe. J-E-T-S. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat bro. You know, I've been watching this team for 55 years. And at this point, I don't get angry. I don't get upset. I don't even really get surprised. It's just a matter of how and what and not if. And at this point, it's more of a perverse amusement about just what's going to happen next.
Are you broken?
No. Luckily, we have baseball coming up. It's just like and you know how happy that's going to make me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Your Mets are going to be great. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. Seems very calm with this. Sean in Michigan. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, Ben.
5'9", about 185, soft and squishy.
Soft.
Hey, talking about Zach Wilson there and stuff, here's the thing. You cannot blame Zach Wilson. Long-time football watcher here. I'm 51. At what point did you draft Zach Wilson and think he was going to be any good? None. Ever. Zero. Zip. Not.
Wait, during the draft they did?
Yeah. What's that?
They took him number 2 overall, so they had great expectations for him.
Well, right, but here's what I'm telling you. Anybody with anything, I watch football a lot. There was no point Zach Wilson was ever going to get picked by me. He's horrible. The Jets are horrible. The GM is horrible.
Okay, but they still took him. I mean, it wasn't about you, Sean. The Jets saw something in him. The analysts the scouts saw something in him. Remember the, oh, he's rolling left, throwing right, 60 yards? He's doing a Patrick Mahomes throw. Did you see that? Everybody got caught up in all of this. I kept saying, he hadn't played anybody. Who'd he play? Coastal Carolina? And they were a pretty good team, and he struggled against Coastal Carolina.
I'm like, should have saw it then.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if he's done it against elite competition, but oh, my God, did you see that?
But if anybody's looking for a world-class quarterback scout,
yeah,
showing in Michigan,
yes,
he's available,
he's
for
there.
Your services.
Yeah, he's there. Robert. Robert in Sacramento. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Get that man a job that just called. Get him hired.
I knew that he wasn't going to be any good. Yeah, okay.
I'm taking him to the bar next time. Help me pick up on women. Hey, listen. I don't understand why the team isn't getting some of the blame for this. Everyone talks about Zach Wilson quitting on his team. How about the five or six times that the team quit on Zach Wilson? If I cheat on my wife three or four times, eventually she's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Not sure I believe you anymore. I got to do what's best for me. No one's holding Saleh and the Jets responsible for the times they quit on him. Let's hold them responsible for their stupidity and say, you know what, Zach, I get it. I'm not sure I'd want to play for us either.
Yes, I get it. And Robert Saleh is coaching for his job. At least it feels like that. He's going to eventually lose his job, and he might lose his job because of Zach Wilson. Maybe.
Well, he's the one that took him.
Well, the GM did, I'm guessing, where it's a collaborative group.
Yeah, it rarely works out that way, but they're usually linked.
Yes,
the head coach and whatever quarterback they draft are usually linked.
Yeah, ask Frank Reich about that in Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew in Washington. Hey, Andrew. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dan and Dennis. Thanks for taking my call. I do have a Zach Wilson comment, but first, I see that you got your CS Dukes crew neck sweatshirt on.
Yep.
I'm waiting for mine in mail. It's coming in chartreuse.
Okay.
You're right. Jake Browning comes into the game and proves like he wants to play NFL quarterback. He's running around. He's doing as much as he can. Zach Wilson looked like he liked football when it was easy and didn't want to put the work in when it was hard in the pros. So his career's over. I agree with what you're saying. I don't think he's even going to be on a roster, maybe a practice squad. But talking about Jake Browning, last night, Jake Browning threw for 354 yards and completed 86.5% of his attempts. His 86.5% completion percentage is the highest for any quarterback this season when passing for more than 350 yards in a game. That's your stat of the day.
All right. Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day. We will take a break. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bengals. Jake Browning beating the Jags last night. And that was one of those. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see the Jags win by 14. Trevor Lawrence, standalone game. Now we have confidence back in the Jags. And then all of a sudden, we don't have confidence in the Jags. They had a chance to win it. But Trevor Lawrence goes down. We're going to keep an eye out for any news on that injured ankle. It certainly looked like it was more serious, although for the life of me, still don't understand why the Jags didn't get a cart to take their quarterback off the field and up the ramp into the locker room. Hey, you got hurt? You walk. Paulie's grandma walked faster down the aisle when he got married than Trevor Lawrence was able to walk off the field.
She was 92.
Yeah.
And her ankle was fine.
Yeah.
By the way, both of them were.
All right. How about we take a break? J.J. Redick from the Mothership will join us coming up here. Booger McFarland, he's still fired up that Florida State's on the outside looking in with the playoffs. We'll talk to him as well. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. TireRack.com. You know what? TireRack.com has their Christmas party coming up. And they have employees who've been there 35 years, 30 years, 25 years, 20 years. That's when you know you have a great product, great company, great environment. Imagine staying together that long with a product. That's how good Tire Rack is. TireRack.com, easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation. So that means the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Full lineup of Goodyear tires. Ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. Free road hazard protection. You get that for 2 years. Ask about mobile tire installation. We got to experience that firsthand, where you have an installer who comes to your office, brings the tires to your office or your home, and changes your tires. Goodyear. Test results. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com/Dan. And remember, TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at FoxSportsRadio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike, and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Did you see my guy Tyrese Halliburton last night? Just saying. He might be this year's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Tyrese Halliburton had 27, 13, and 10 first career triple-double. And the pesky Indiana Pacers beating the Celtics. By the way, here's one for you. According to DraftKings, odds on favorite to win the in-season tournament. Who is the odds on favorite? Actually, they're co-odds on favorites. Paulie?
Only because you just mentioned Halliburton. Your Pacers?
No, but they're there. They're there. Marvin?
The Lakers?
No. They're in second place, tied with the Pacers.
Your Kings?
No. Todd?
The sneaky Pelicans?
Did you look?
I did not. I just know the Pacers are playing the Pelicans, so I guess Pelicans, because you already said Pacers.
The Pelicans and the Bucks are your co-favorites.
Pelicans aren't winning that.
And then Lakers, Pacers, Suns, and then the Knicks. Yes, Paul.
Remember our thing where we weren't going to talk about Zion Williamson playing well because we didn't want to jinx him?
Yeah.
I think we should continue that.
Okay.
He's playing well.
Well, I thought we were able to talk about Zion if he played more than five games in a row. I thought that was the stipulation.
Checking.
All right. Seton, would you update the poll results? J.J. Redick, the former Duke star, is going to join us coming up here in a moment.
Yeah, Dan, we've got which 6-6 AFC team do you still believe in? Right now, the Bills are running away with that. Right. We also put up their best 9-3 team in the NFL.
Yeah, I like this poll question.
Yeah, right now the 49ers are leading that one. Early results, though.
Okay. Mercedes-Benz Holiday Love Celebration. Incredible offers on exceptional vehicles that you're bound to love. Right now, find a vehicle, and you can adore it through January 2nd. Learn more at mbusa.com/special offers. All right. We'll connect with J.J. Redick here coming up. Do you have a Zion Williamson update, Paulie?
I do, Dan. He played the first four games of the season, then he didn't dress. Then two games, didn't dress. Four games in a row, didn't dress. Three games in a row, did not dress. He has just finished playing five games in a row.
Yes,
let's go.
Yeah.
He's back. Oh,
wow. He is durable.
Oh.
He is durable. Is J.J. there?
He is.
All right. Paulie wants to play the J.J. Redick game. What's J.J. stand for?
Yes.
So before we go to him, Paulie?
Yeah, so Dan, J.J. Redick, everyone knows him, but we've never asked him what J.J. stands for.
Okay.
I'm going to go around the room. Dan, you're going to go last.
Okay.
What does J.J. stand for?
All right, Todd?
Jimmy John.
Jimmy John.
Like the sandwich place.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Knucklehead. Seton.
Jonathan James.
Jonathan James. All right, Marvin?
I was going to say Jonathan Jr.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's where I'm going. All right, Paulie? Oh, you already know it. I'm going to go James Jr.
James
Redick.
I'm going to give you a hint. The middle name doesn't start with J.
Dang.
Which works well for the junior idea.
Let's bring in J.J. Redick. What's the J.J. stand for?
Well, it actually doesn't stand for anything. It's a nickname. So I have older twin sisters. My name is Jonathan Clay Redick. And when I was a baby, my dad called me Jay for short. And my older twin sisters are about 5 years older. They said everything at the same time as kids. So people would ask what my name was, and they'd say, Jay, Jay, hey, Jay, Jay, go get Jay, Jay. Literally, that's, and you know, my first memories, like everybody else, are at 3-4 years old. And I was always JJ, and it's because of them.
Well, it does help that you had an unbelievable J when you played as well. I mean, imagine if you couldn't shoot.
The real hint on this, though, for all the Jonathan James speculators, is that there's no periods in my name. It's just two J's. There's no J period. It's just two J's.
J.J. Joining us on behalf of DraftKings. This is the only reason why we wanted him on, just so we could clear up the J.J. New customers can bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Did you ever have a moment like LeBron had with Ime Udoka the other night where the coach is saying something to you in colorful language?
I want to know, kind of, because I think last time I was on the show, I dropped an F-bomb.
Yes,
you did. So I want to be very careful of my language
here.
Well,
just use F-bomb. Just don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was playing with the Clippers. And we were in Minnesota, and Flip Saunders was the coach. Rest in peace. Flip was a great guy. Little backstory, in 2013 in free agency, I had verbally committed to Minnesota, and my agents were going back and forth with Flip on some like trade kickers and a player option on the fourth year. And in the meantime, the Clippers kind of came in, and Doc said, we're going to trade Bledsoe. We got a sign and trade scenario where we can get you. So I had this hour waiting period where I was waiting for Donald Sterling to approve this deal. And Flip took, he's like, screw this guy. I'm taking the deal off the table. 5 minutes later, Kevin Martin signs for my contract. So I ended up going with LA. 2 years later, we're playing in Minnesota. And there's a foul. We're on a fast break. There's a foul right in front of their bench. And Flip walks out onto the court. He's damn near at the free throw line. And I turn to Josh Tiven, who was also the referee that threw me out when I spun the ball to him. But I turned to Josh Tiven and I said, get this motherfucker off the court. And Flip just goes ballistic on me. He starts calling me every name in the book. I'm not backing down. So then I start cussing at him. So Josh tees us both up. And we're then shooting free throws. I'm at the free throw. I'm not shooting, but I'm like at the block or whatever, you know, offensive spot on the free throw line. And I'm yelling at Josh. I'm like, Josh, I'm going to get my money back for that one. That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for. And then Josh just threw me out of the game. So I got ejected from mouthing off to Flip and Flip mouthing off to me.
But did you ever revisit that conversation with Flip Saunders?
Oh, the next time we played them, we had a good laugh. We had a chuckle. Right. We had a good chuckle about it.
Did you feel inferior as a team when you were in LA with the Clippers? Like, does the team sense that, or the coverage there with everybody, you know, talking about the Lakers? How does it feel to be a Clipper in LA?
Well, the Lakers sucked when I was there, so we didn't feel inferior as a team. We certainly felt like the bastard stepchild. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, we're in at the time Staples Center, and we're the third tenant, so we get we get the third priority. We don't even get better priority than the Kings. You know, the hockey team gets better games than us. Had to play a lot of 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon games for Clippers Nation.
But the coverage is still L.A. Even if we were better than L.A.
We were at the time. We were one of the sort of the buzzworthy teams, and then some by our own doing, we became sort of a meme stock in some ways, where because of some playoff failures and some internal turmoil, we got talked about a ton. It didn't feel like we got less coverage when I was there. But I think that's always going to be there. You know, I live in New York now. I live in Brooklyn, and like, you go to a Knicks game and it's a much different experience than going to a Nets game. You know, there's decades and decades of fandom embedded into the Lakers, and there's decades and decades of fandom embedded into the Knicks. And so I think it's really, really hard to overcome that.
We're talking to J.J. Redick, joining us on behalf of DraftKings Sportsbook, offering additional promotions, including new customers who bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly. I was wondering about the in-season tournament, and did these teams embrace the in-season tournament more than maybe other teams? Like, is there a sense of this is maybe more important to certain teams than it is others? Or am I overstating something there?
No, I would say that that's an overstatement to some degree. I do think, in my observation, towards the end of the group play, the teams that were 0-3 probably didn't care as much about the fourth game. I said this leading up to that first weekend, that first Friday. I called the Knicks at Bucks, which was the first in-season tournament game in NBA history. And I said, look, you're talking about highly competitive, highly psychotic NBA players. You don't need to give them a reason to wake up in the morning to compete for something. This is how the majority of them are wired. And I thought the level of play in the group play was outstanding. I don't think you could have asked for a better night if you're the NBA than what we saw last night with Indianapolis just rocking. They've got the best in-season tournament court. They had the best in-season tournament jerseys. They've got a rising superstar in Tyrese Halliburton, who on his very first TNT nationally televised game goes for a triple-double, hits that four-point play. That Aaron Nesmith dunk at the end of the game, where you see the players on the court celebrating, you see the fans, you see Halliburton screaming like out of joy. Like, that's what the NBA wanted with this in-season tournament. And so, as good as November was, as good as the group play was, I thought it was outstanding. This week is going to be even better because you've got these quarterfinal games at home where it's a playoff atmosphere. And then we go to Vegas. Yeah. Which is an event unto itself, where guys are playing for something. So kudos to Adam Silver for trying it. I'm sure there will be tweaks in the future, but you can't say that this wasn't a success for the first in-season tournament.
If I said to you, do your senior thesis at Duke on the Joker and explain how he does what he does, you know, to a non-basketball fan?
Yeah, I would. It's a great question. I would 100%, and Joker would never agree to do this, but I would 100% find a clinical psychiatrist, a clinical psychologist. I would get with a neuropsychologist. Like, I would put some sort of electrodes on his brain. I would figure out a way to do that, because for me, when I watch him play, his processing speed is a little bit faster than everyone else on the court. The way he anticipates how a defense is going to rotate, the way he anticipates coverages, how he sees things. I mean, think about how many blind alley-oop passes he throws to Aaron Gordon. How many blind alley-oop passes, if Aaron Gordon is covered, he somehow anticipates when that alley-oop, when Aaron Gordon's at the dunker spot, when he's covered, skips it to the corner, KCP gets a wide open three. Like, his ability to just see the whole floor faster than everyone else is really what makes him so special. And I mean, he's huge. Like, he can sit there and tip the ball at the rim when he's missing bunnies and grab three offensive rebounds without ever leaving the floor.
But I don't know if he cares about greatness. I don't know if he cares about legacy. I don't. It feels like this is my job. I go to my job, and I do my job really well. But it wouldn't surprise me if, like, in 3 or 4 years, he just walks away and says, I'm going home.
You know, I have a couple thoughts on that. If you talk to anyone in the Denver Nuggets organization, I've got a teammate there from Duke who works in their front office. And I know a bunch of people in their front office, coaching staff, his teammates. He's an absolute psychotic competitor. And it leads to the second point, which is, I think this is all a bit, Dan.
Oh, okay.
I think he's putting us on. I really do. I really do. I love it. That he goes home for the summer and doesn't touch a basketball, and then the first week of the season averages 30, 12, and 9 on 62% shooting or whatever it was. Like, I'm not buying it. I think it's all a bit.
20 games into the season, trying to figure out, and it's mandatory I ask you about the Lakers, because I thought the offseason additions made them, you know, a balanced team, a deeper team. Give me your opinion on the Lakers so far.
Yeah, LeBron obviously playing at an extremely high level. No real surprise there. Don't take it for granted, though, what he's doing in year 21. But for me, you know, I think they just need to shoot the ball better. They haven't shot well. They've got a top 10 defense. I think they're 24th in offense as of today. They're struggling to score in the half court. And I think a lot of that is just them not shooting well. You know, Hachimura has been out for a number of games. He's going to help. They're one of my disappointing teams. Yeah. I have like a list of disappointing teams, and then I have a list of weird teams. They don't quite qualify for weird yet, but they're in my list of disappointing teams. I thought they were going to be much better to start the year, and they're just not there yet, but they're a good basketball team.
All right, I'll leave you with this, and I wanted to ask you this question. I've asked this a couple of times on the show. If I give you, it's a different take on the Jordan-LeBron argument. If I said I'm going to give you LeBron for at least 20 years, or I'm going to give you Michael at 13 years, so you're going to be an owner.
Yeah.
You get LeBron's body of work, you get it for 20, you get Mike's for 13. What would you sign up for? Knowing what the results are so far, obviously with Mike, and LeBron is still playing.
Well, it's an interesting way to frame the question and try to trap me into saying who I think is the GOAT. But, you know, since I've gotten into this role, LeBron James is the best player I played against. And I would probably say there's two or three guys, you know, Kobe being one, Steph being another. Of course, I played against Shaq, but that was later in his career. Like, Tim Duncan, like, I played against some of the top 10 players of all time. Yeah. LeBron's the best player I played against. I tend to go now with with the Michael Jordan argument, which is what Michael Jordan said in an interview sometime around 2002 or 2003, which is, I can't compare myself to Bill Russell. I can't compare myself to Wilt Chamberlain. I didn't play against those guys. So there's so many things we need to put into context whenever we make this argument. You know, the 4-6 in the finals. Well, LeBron's teams, some of those teams really overachieved. You know, he's playing in the 2015 finals without Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Love. Made that a competitive series, right? That 2007 team was awful.
Yes, it was.
LeBron dragged that team to the finals, right? You know, Michael Jordan 6-0. You can't argue with that. Michael Jordan also played in his prime during an era of rapid expansion in the NBA. Was the level of competition during expansion as high as it was, let's say, in 2015 to 2018? LeBron lost twice to KD and the Warriors, who I think I would put that team up against any team of all time. One of the greatest teams of all time. I'm not saying they're the greatest. One of the greatest. I'd put them up against anybody. So I think the context matters in all this. To me, they're the two greatest players ever, and I don't care which one you like. We're all biased to some degree about who we like more.
Well, Michael's a better player, though. But I would take LeBron's longevity. I would take 20 years.
I think there's some arguments, Dan, around who was the best basketball player of all time, right? Who was the best basketball player of all time versus who had the best basketball career of all time?
Absolutely.
There's some arguments around that.
Yes, yes. Mike's the best
and
player.
That's sort of where the question you asked is framed. That sort of argument.
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to trick you because
no, I know.
You went to Duke. I can't trick you.
I was only kidding.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you.
Always good to see you, Dan. Keep stirring it up.
How's the jumper, by the way?
It's pretty solid, actually. I'm coaching my third grader. And helping out with my first grader's team, but really full time, 4 days a week with my third grader. He plays on a fourth grade travel team. And yesterday we were doing shell drill, and to help the kids understand better, we normally do it 4-on-4. I've got the ball at the top of the key. They get into their shifts. They interchange on the weak side. I make sure they're in help side, all that stuff. Yesterday, to make it easier for them to understand, I put a fifth defender on me. And, you know, just so they could kind of visualize it a little bit better. And I couldn't help myself. I made this poor kid fall twice and laid it in the basket. And I felt...
Wait. You're breaking fourth grade ankles?
Yeah, for a split second, I felt really good about myself. And then I was like, what are you doing, man?
That's what your wife says. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
All right.
That's JJ Redick, former NBA guard. Shooter, joining us on behalf of DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's take a break. Back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you like where Mercedes-Benz has been, you're going to like where they're going. With a full range of EVs now available at your local dealer, Mercedes-Benz is turning electric completely on its head. Experience the all-electric EQB, a versatile luxury SUV that can seat as many as seven. The brilliantly advanced and superbly equipped EQE SUV, positively alive with groundbreaking technology. The inspired EQE, the electric sedan with energizing comfort features that recharge you. The boundlessly capable EQS SUV, a vehicle that takes luxury and innovation to places they've never been before. And of course, the magnificent EQS, the flagship of all EVs, delivering the Mercedes electric experience on a truly epic scale. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at your local dealer or mbusa.com/EQ. Rumor has it there's a big game coming up Sunday night. It's the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm not prone to hyperbole, but this is a big game. Now, the Eagles losing made this even bigger because if you're a Cowboy fan, and aren't we all, you got to have this game. Have to. If not, you're going to be the fifth seed, and then you're going to be on the road in the playoffs. But we did bring that up, and I was being serious about the Cowboys are going to have some money issues here because of their players playing well. I mean, it's, a good problem to have until you have to pay everybody. Now, they traded Amari Cooper a few years back, you know, because it's like, we don't want to pay him $100 million or whatever it was going to be. But you're going to pay Micah Parsons, and you're going to pay Dak Prescott. And I assume you're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. So in the next couple of years, if you don't have a Super Bowl to show for this and you're going to have to pony up, whoo. All right, we have two games to play. The blank is in trouble. So it can be a person, a place, or a thing. The blank is in big trouble. So, Todd, I'll start with you. The blank is in big trouble game.
The Washington Commanders are in big trouble because what's their head coach situation moving forward? Is Sam Howell a long-term answer at QB? At 4-9, they're not quite bad enough to get one of the very top picks in the draft. They lost four in a row, getting outscored 150-70, gave up 45 points in each of the last two games. Their remaining schedule has the Eagles and Cowboys on it in the last two games of the regular season.
And you did some homework.
Did a little homework.
All right. All right, Seton, the blank is in big trouble.
Well, I should have saved the Dallas Cowboys take for this segment.
You can co-opt that.
But
absolutely.
I think the Cowboys are in real trouble because they're playing so well. This is the worst possible thing that could have happened this year is the Cowboys playing well.
You're going Skip Bayless.
I'm really not. Dak Prescott, nobody is really sure if he's still the guy there. And he's playing at an MVP level in a contract year where he's going to become the highest paid player in the league.
I love it. I love the spin on that. It's like Cowboys are in trouble. Why?
Micah Parsons, his extension window opens up when this season ends. That's going to be costly. And CeeDee Lamb is basically going to be like, give me better Tyreek Hill money. Man, that is going to be tough.
Yes, Paul.
Seton's right. The Cowboys, I think, can keep Dak Prescott. I got to see whose option it is for about $45 million in 2024. However, he has a no tag clause and a no trade clause. So basically, it's going to big, huge contract or let him go unless he allows a trade. Now, this is a year from now, but
okay. It's
on the way. All right. Unavoidable.
Marvin, the blank is in big trouble.
The Los Angeles Chargers, they're in big trouble.
Okay.
They might lose their head coach. I still don't know what to think of Justin Herbert. We say he's a franchise quarterback, but
He's a franchise quarterback.
Okay, I'm waiting.
I mean, there's different levels of those franchise quarterbacks, but yeah, he is.
There is?
Yeah. Yes.
Feels like there's like you're the franchise quarterback. Right. Or you're the guy we're not sure if we're really in.
Well, you could be a franchise-ish quarterback. Paulie, the blank is in big trouble.
The Philadelphia Eagles' short yardage game after this year. There is
very specific.
Yeah, very specific.
Very, very niche.
There's been too much smoke about the commissioner wanting to get rid of the brotherly shove. They have no one on the committee to represent them. That play could be in trouble. That's big.
Booger McFarland's all fired up about Florida State. He'll join us in the final hour. Hope you will as well.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The boundlessly capable all-electric EQS SUV from Mercedes-Benz with available transparent hood technology. So advanced, it can see through sheet metal. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS-SUV.